Why don't you play a game on Xbox 360?
I can't, because it's broken. Joke on funny me. Welcome to the Feudal Podcast. Tonight we have a special review of the new Roland Emmerich film, 10,000 BC. Lots of woolly mammoths in this movie.
Spoiler, it was shitty.
Okay, so.
I didn't see it.
How's it going? I see you've now buttoned up your shirt.
This is going to be really highbrow, so.
Yeah.
You're going to get tie quick.
Okay.
You should unbutton the bottom one so you can go Mexican. Mexican.
It's a good idea. No, it's not. So, Micah.
Yes, sir.
The other day, yesterday to be exact, you called me and you said, hey, you want to go see a movie? And I said, I don't have any money. And you said, I'll pay for it. And I said, okay. And then
you use up all your free tickets?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And then you said, it's 10,000 BC. And I went, And then we went. And What did you think it was going to be like before we saw it?
I don't know. I was, I like,
you know.
I like
epic.
Roland,
am I right?
I like Roland Emmerich's films. Well, a good portion of them that I've seen.
You got Stargate, Independence Day, yeah. Godzilla, Day After Tomorrow, Patriot,
Day After Tomorrow,
Moon 88.
Day After Tomorrow was pretty good, but
was it Moon 88?
It wasn't exactly, you know, a great film. I liked Independence Day. I did enjoy Stargate and
Universal Soldier.
I enjoyed that. So I like his work, but I expected
The Patriot.
So something a little, as Blaine put it,
what?
Epic.
Epic.
And woolly mammoths. I wanted to see woolly mammoths.
Which they called mammoths.
Mammoths. Which was, fine.
Mammoths.
And the guy had apparently dread technology existed back in 10,000 BC.
They were all dreaded.
Yeah, they had so many
all
dreads.
The ones who were. Now see,
they speak English.
Their tribe was the they spoke British.
Yeah,
they spoke British.
Yeah,
and then all the Africans spoke African, their own dialect. And then the Egyptians spoke Egyptian or whatever.
Right.
So. Yeah, so it's this race of people called the Ugal or something like that.
Yeah, they're pretty close. Yeah.
And they've got this prophecy that the internet, they've got
I've
this,
never seen this.
They've got this prophecy that eventually, they're basically just a small tribe. They're all that's left of their old people, which is, I guess, they're kind of like Neanderthals.
Where are they located?
Yeah, pretty close to Neanderthal.
Because
they were in 10,000 BC.
They're in some snowy hills. It's not quite snowy yet at the beginning. And you can tell this is supposed to be like Russian, like in between Russia and the Middle East.
Okay.
Like somewhere around there, probably.
Somewhere in there,
Like Uzbekistan or something?
Yeah, maybe something like that, Early people. Maybe they're in Estonia.
Kamchatka, if you're a rich player.
Maybe something like that. Or maybe something more. And so they're all kind of darker skinned. The bad guy from...
Tron?
No, I want to say the bad guy from True Lies is Dick Dick, or Tick Tick.
Dick Dick.
Dick,
Tick Tick is his name, but Zach came terrible. Up with the clever concept to call him Dick Dick.
That
was Zach.
I think I didn't lean over to you and whisper giddily, Dick Dick.
Yeah, you did. And so every time after that, they said the guy's name, all I had this vision of like two dicks in my head.
No, it's not Art Malik. It's just the guy who looks like him. It's another terrorist looking guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like the leader of the tribe. Because in the beginning, there's these kids and they're like, one of the kids throws a spear through a skin. And then they all go around high-fiving each other, which is how they high-five is they do the Bash Brothers thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I go like this, and Micah does his, and we go, yeah!
Oh, you mean like the Oakland A's, back in the 80s.
The Bash Brothers, yeah. And they do that to each other. And then the main guy's a kid, he's like, hey, what about me? And the guy's like, fuck you, dude, your dad left us.
He gets shunned.
Your dad left you, Yeah. You're the son of somebody who ran away, a coward, because his dad left the tribe. In the beginning, you see the dad, and he goes, all right, I'm going now. I'm giving you my white spear. The white spear is the main hunter of the tribe.
Yeah, lead hunter.
This. Yeah. And he says, I'm giving you this. Don't tell anyone why I left. He's like, all right. And they leave. Mm-hmm. And the guy runs off into the night. So anyway, this kid just thinks his dad left, and he's shunned for it.
The tats and the shirt with the all the way buttoned up.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Don't ever change.
I'm going to watch Gosford Park later. I've got to.
I know.
I'm dressed like it already. So this kid, basically, Stephen Strait, the only things I think he's been in was he was in The Covenant. I think he was the main kid in The Covenant. He's kind of dark-skinned. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's him.
Yeah.
He's kind of dark-skinned and stuff. So anyway, everyone in this tribe is like, it's a mix of, the actors, first of all, are like American actors.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a black kid with light skin and really girly eyes. Looks like John Michael Basquiat or whatever that guy's mm-hmm. name is. Looks
like Jean-Michel Basquiat.
So he looks a large portion of that tribe look like they're from like,
well, then there's Nepal, the old, and there's old like mother, Nepal, who's the soothsayer, the person who's like the protector of the tribe and has like magical powers, kind of.
Yeah, she's like the wise woman.
The wise woman, and she's totally just an Asian.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, just like kind of a bug-eyed like, Chinese.
I think
lady
they're looking for like a Mongolian.
Yeah, I think they were looking for something like that. Yeah, because the people who are Americanized are definitely darker skinned and darker haired and stuff. So anyway, the prophecy is that their world is going to end when the last hunt of the Manics happens, because the Manics have been fewer and fewer and far between since their world was getting warmer. It's like this basically hints that this is sometime after an ice age just ended.
Yeah.
Let's say around 10,000 BC.
Okay.
I'm just guessing because of my scientific background. That's when it would be, because I know these sort of things.
Yeah.
So then they had the big mammoths come into town, right? They roll through town. And the hunters all go out, and they're going to do it. Oh, and so the main thing is that a long time ago, this little girl with blue eyes, the girl with blue eyes, who was foretold in prophecy, came. And she was the one who, the person who ended up loving her was going to be the person who led them all to victory.
Her husband. Her husband, yeah. The person who loves her.
Well, they don't ever say husband.
Don't always love each other.
They don't say husband.
Usually don't.
They just said her man or something like that.
Yeah,
usually back then. And in 10,000 BC.
And anyway, so that shows them grow up later, and Stephen Strait's a burly young man, and she looks like a supermodel, kind of, and she has fake blue eyes. Yeah, and he's got incredibly white, straight teeth. Oh, beautiful teeth.
Yeah,
just beautiful
nice
teeth. They all do.
Yes.
So this Ugal tribe had incredible dental.
There's probably a strip ball in hair and nails and like teeth bleaching back then. I've seen fossil evidence for
good.
This.
These people look good. Well, they frequently have dirt and stuff smeared on their face in various designs. But
well, they didn't drink
clean.
As much like modern sugar caffeinated drinks that like
blood. They just ate raw meat and stuff.
I don't drink sugar.
Yeah, and weren't able to brush their teeth and didn't have fluoride in water.
Anyway,
brush your teeth.
The girl says, all right, so listen.
It's a conspiracy, right?
Listen, you have to be able to, you have to be the one that kills the main mammoth. Because the whole hunt is, you hunt one mammoth. It's like the bull.
You mean mammoth?
Manix. Something like that.
Manix.
Like the show in the 60s about the detective.
Yeah,
Manix.
Exactly. And whoever pierces the heart is the person who wins the white spear. And who gets to then choose any woman in the tribe to be his or something like that. And
nice.
So
be his banging post.
Yes.
That's what they call it,
so
right?
So he has to do it to pick this girl whose name is like, it's something really
Dick
modern.
Dick?
No, her name is like Edeline or something like that.
Everett.
Ellalette.
Apple?
Everett.
I guess I could just look this
Apple.
Up.
Apple!
Yeah. Zach's terrible about this
it's
stuff.
It's an Apple.
Beretta? Is your name Beretta? Is it another detective?
Everett.
It's not Everett. You retard. It's
Simon and Simon.
It's Evelette.
Evelette, my bad.
Man, you're an idiot. You were so
his
far
name is, and the guy's name is Delay.
Delay. Hey, that's something in French.
Well, it's D'Leh, according to Wikipedia.
Delay. Right.
So anyway, he's like, okay, let's do this thing. And so they go out on the hunt, and they do this thing where they chase the whole herd, and they kind of corral them,
because
these mammoths can only run so fast, you know, so they're able to keep up with them, kind of. And they get the bull is the one who's behind them all. And they run through this thing, and this kid drops a rock, and this big net they made pops up and traps it. And they all jump onto the net, and they drag behind this thing. They're not supposed to, but the thing breaks through the net, right? So they're all hanging on behind him because it's hooked to him. And Dick, apparently it's Tick Tick. Oh, Cliff Curtis is the guy's name. I guess he's not a terrorist. He looks like one, though. I'll show you a picture of Cliff Curtis so you guys know what terrorist I'm talking about.
Oh my gosh.
An Arab. Arab. that guy. You've seen him in movies.
Oh, yeah.
Cliff Curtis.
Yeah.
He's Tick Tick, Dick Dick. And he... He's the boss now since Delay's dad left, so he's like, all right, listen, this is getting us nowhere. Everyone let go of the net, right?
The net.
Because it's going to kill us all. So they all let go, except for Delay. And Dick Dick's like, let go. And he's like, I can't, my hand's caught. And so Dick Dick lets go, and he just lets him go off. But everyone thinks he's being brave, right? So he gets all the way to the top of this mountain, and he finally gets let go. And there's some spears and stuff up there, and the mammoth comes at him, and he throws one, and it just bounces off of him. He's like, oh no. And he picks up another spear, but it gets stuck in a rock, and the mammoth charges at him, and it kind of gets stuck in the mammoth, and then it gets, like, driven into its heart. And
so it's basically he lucks out with the Gamora play, if you're familiar with the Neverending Story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And also, it's also a lot like the thing in 300, where you back up against a rock, and you put the spear there, and the thing jumps.
But that was purposeful. In the Gamora situation, he really didn't plan, Atreya didn't plan on that.
Try to link everything in the Neverending Story, like we always do.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, he's able to then claim the white spear and the girl. But then the next day, he's like, you know what? I didn't... It was a fake. It was a fluke. I didn't get it. And she's like, what, you want me? He's like, no, I do. I just want to do it the right way.
This is after he's banged her at least once.
No, they never show that. Like, they're really kind of...
But they don't imply that?
They didn't kiss until the very end of the movie. Oh, I just gave away the fact that both of them live.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
Anyway.
Son of a bitch.
I've explained this too much so far. The plot basically
it's a Roland Emmerich movie. The main character's not going to die.
The plot goes like this. Four-legged demons come. The old mother sees it's going to happen. They come. What it is, it's the guys on horses.
Okay.
Horses have four legs. It's not that surprising.
You think they're centaurs, but it's...
They come and they kill a bunch of people. Actually, no, he says, don't kill anyone. Let's take him as slaves. So they take all the young men and women. Just the young men, mostly. And then Evelette. Because the main slave trader goes, ooh, she looks pretty hot. Let's take her. And
she's a banging post.
One person,
not too many
make a chick on TV right now.
Interesting. I've never seen a naked chick before.
Hey, it's
that's the chick from Casino Royale.
The Casino Royale lady. She's totally got tits. Michael Pitt totally wants to lick him. Here he goes. Punch. He's gonna knock her out. He's out of here. He can't take this nudity.
He was gonna do the donkey punch, but I guess he chickened out.
He can't take this. Neither can that kid. Come this back. Let's
alive,
talk
right?
instead of watching. No, this is the IFC.
IFC
Mao Zedong likes it.
Yeah.
Hell, this is the longest nude scene I've ever seen.
Let's keep watching, just in case she inserts something somewhere.
I don't think it's going to happen, but okay.
IFC doesn't play, like, pornos.
DVDA. Maybe some DVDA or some ATM will happen.
Well, as long as it's artistic, it's okay.
Yeah. Artistic ATM is good.
Unless the fiber optic network's down, right?
Yeah.
I love how, like, some actresses are like, I never want to do a nude scene or a sex scene,
but...
the director we talked about is like, it's for the art.
Yeah.
It's for the art.
You know, the director just wanted to be able to walk around this naked chick for 5 hours during a day.
Yeah.
Let's do that shot again.
You'll be taken seriously unless...
Let me dust your nipples for, like... Okay, yeah.
For fingerprints?
Oh, whoa, she's right there.
There you go.
Oh, she's even more naked than before now. Another girl?
What the hell is going on?
Different...
This is fucked up.
I'm guessing
the guy's,
her.
Like, holding him down now.
Look at the
Maybe
naked
the guy's
chick.
Gay.
No, remember, this is how I read the premise of this to you in 1968, a brother and sister...
play sexual games with some American student in Paris.
Twisted.
That's awesome.
Let's not watch this anymore.
Yeah, maybe I should change the channel.
I lied. Let's keep watching it.
Back to, back to 10,000 BC.
I wish this had happened in that movie.
That would have made it more of an interesting movie.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, wow. Oh. Don't look, Blaine. Have you ever seen
I've never seen a dick before. Not a real
dick,
one.
A live dick. He's semi-turgid. No, please. Oh, my God. Ian, what is that?
Oh, God.
No. Why did you choose this?
Is that her, though?
This is gone left.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What are you doing with this, Ian?
I just left it on IFC without paying attention.
That's crazy.
When we were going to do other podcasts, I had it on the weapons channel or something.
Oh my gosh.
Not my kind of weapon.
I'm really curious to see how far they're going to go with that, though.
For those of you listening who weren't here tonight, which is probably no one, we just saw a dick.
A real one.
Zach's like, let's keep watching. It'll be great. And well, then that's Ian's dick fault, though, pops out.
How was that, Mike? I was about to go change. I got up out of my seat almost, and you're
so
like,
Dick Dick goes.
You guys all failed at the what's the
TV chicken.
I would have kept watching that dick. It was like,
well, if she was gonna do stuff to it,
she was about to.
She had like a poker playing card on the dick.
Oh my god!
She did.
That, I was watching the whole thing.
Wow.
Oh, God.
You refuse to stop the dick thing. Okay.
It's casting up Frankenstein.
So
they steal his girl. He decides
to
go after him.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes Dick with him, and then his nemesis of the group, the guy who was mean to him as a kid and stuff.
Biff?
Yeah, Biff goes with him. And then a kid follows him along, because you have to have kids, right, to make it, like, family-friendly and stuff. And the kid's like...
To make it, like, Apocalypto.
Kind of, yeah. So, they basically, the whole movie is this, from that point, is them walking or running. The whole movie, until the very end, is them walking or running.
It's just like montages. Is it all blue screened and stuff?
No. None of it's blue screened.
They went to like live action.
Roland Emmerich makes incredible sets and makes things look really like the grandiose nature of the whole thing is always impeccable. They go through all these things. They're not very far behind these slave traders who stole all the people for most of the time. They catch up to him pretty soon in this jungle setting.
So it's like it's sort of a journey picture.
It is, kind of. Yeah. And there's these birds that are exactly like velociraptors.
They're like velociraptors.
Like dodos that fly?
No, they don't fly. They're like ostrich type things.
They're huge.
And they rip a bunch of these guys up in this field, in this like cornfield it looks like, kind of, and in the jungle they attack just tall stalks of stuff, and they attack people and you know, there's just some exciting escape from the bird type action.
Yeah.
And he finds the girl and he's like, yeah, and she gets taken away again.
Oh, nuts.
And they get out to the desert and there's some Africans. And well, before that he falls in a pit, right? And in the pit are all these spikes, and there's a gigantic saber-toothed tiger stuck under it. And this is one of the dumbest parts of the movie.
Yeah.
He wakes up out of the pit when it starts raining a lot, and it's filling with water. And he wakes up, and he's like, oh, damn. And then he sees the tiger stuck over there, and he needs to crawl over the tiger to get out. And so he picks up this spear, or this big sharpened stick that's in there, and he's going to stab it in the tiger's face. This is the gigantic snarling saber-toothed tiger is trapped under some rocks or something. And he's about to stab it, and he goes, I can't do it. He goes, I can't do it. Then he goes...
Why not?
He goes, promise me you won't eat me when I free you. And the tiger's just like... Argh. So then he frees it, right? And then it snarls at him for a while, really close to his face, then jumps up over the thing.
So it does the Alien 3 thing to him.
Exactly. Yeah.
Turns out he has a tiger inside him the whole time. So
that's a twist at the
so
end.
So he, anyway, so he, it pays off, this little thing with the tiger pays off way too
quickly. Yeah, I know, it saves him, right?
No, well, they set it up immediately. He immediately gets out, he finds Dick again, the other guys, and they go to this African village, and all these Africans, and there's nobody in there. They're like, oh, what's going on? There's nobody here. Because they heard a fight going on in the middle of the night, and it turns out it's in this village. They run there, and they find food on the ground, so they start eating it. And the Africans come up with spears, and they go, oh, no. And Africans are about to kill them, and then suddenly this gigantic saber-toothed tiger comes crawling over the rocks, and it's snarling at them all. And they all start backing away, except for
main character.
Delay. And he lays back on the ground and kind of gets away, but he doesn't really move that far. And it comes up to him, and he says, you have to remember me from before. You know, from before, me. And the tiger growls at him, and then growls at the rest of them, and then just takes off. And they go, oh, it's a prophecy. We have a rock that shows a guy laying on the ground, and tiger's, you know, breathing on him. It doesn't eat him or something.
Talking to the tiger, yes.
And it turns out that this guy's dad had gone into this village because his whole goal all those years ago, because their area is, like, dying, you know. And so his goal is to find... ways to keep it alive, like the sustainability. Seeds and stuff. Yeah. And so the African guy's like, me and your father were buddies. He taught me how to speak, you know, English. So they speak English together. And everyone else speaks just, you know, African. And so then he decides, you know, these slave traders, they steal all our people. They killed my wife. They took my kid. We got to do something about it. So he's like, all right, well, let's band together. And then they get all these African tribes together and they follow him. Like, he's become this great leader now, and he's still kind of really not. They go all the way to this this river, and slave trader and everyone get on these weird boats with these big, huge... They say, like, oh, they're going to the birds. The giant birds, yeah, that are flying birds. Away.
Yeah.
And all there are boats with big, huge sails that look like bird wings, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And they take him away to some, you know, the head of the snake, which is the end of the river. And, because the Africans believe
not to be confused with the stuff. Union of the Snake, exactly. Which is the Duran Duran song.
Yeah.
Mm.
And they're all hungry like wolves at this point. So they run through the desert, and they somehow magically... He remembers this star that he pointed out to Evelette and said, that star right there that doesn't move, that's our star,
that's
right?
That's the moon, you know.
It's not.
The lonely satellite.
It's the north star. There's the star.
It's a north star or whatever. And then so he uses it when they get lost in the desert for 50 days, or 14 days, or 3 days, whatever it is.
You know, whatever the hell it is.
Master celestial navigation.
Yeah, he's long like, enough. See that star? He's like, we just have to follow that. They're like, oh, what? Really?
It's in the same place at all times.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for during the day,
yeah. So, anyway, they somehow get to the pyramid, and then they find these, you know, they go to the slaves holding pens in the middle of the night, and the slaves are like, they find all their buddies, and the one guy's like, yeah, we saw your girl, she's here somewhere, you know, and this other slave goes, you know, the people who own us, it's a god, there used to be three of them, and this is where it starts to get interesting,
this is actually where it got really
intriguing. He said, we don't know who this god is. Some say he came from the sky, and immediately we both thought of Stargate, because Roland Emmerich, and they actually treat it just like that. The way this person looks and stuff and dresses, dude. It's really creepy, and it's got really cool at this point.
Yeah.
And it was like this thing where they go, either that or some say from came across the sea on a great bird type thing, like another boat, basically. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, this whole convoluted thing where there's mammoths, for some reason, working... for these people, building these massive pyramid things.
Yeah, they've
enslaved mammoths somehow.
No, domesticated.
Yeah, domesticated mammoths. That's the word. And it's all these slaves everywhere, a whole bunch of Africans and stuff, and they kind of slip in, and they slip out, and they get out of there because the guards are looking for them. And Dick ends up dying.
No,
yeah,
no
because,
Dick.
Because they snuck back out of the desert to tell the rest of their soldiers what they were going to do, and they didn't notice there were some guards that were following them, but Dick got him. But he didn't really kill last one, he just knocked him out, which is always a mistake. And then he's walking away.
He picked up his Stargate blaster and shot him.
The guy gets up and stabs Dick. But Dick kills him. But then he's like, oh, it's too late. And then he gives Delay the white spear. He goes, it's time for you to have this. He's like, I haven't earned it yet. He's like, sure you have. And then he dies. And then...
You the man.
Yeah. And so then they probably did this.
Yeah.
I don't remember if they did the Bash Brothers thing. I don't remember if they did. Maybe they kissed. What do they do?
They probably kissed. I don't know. I can't remember exactly. Hold on. They could have even had gay sex. I don't know.
They might have. There's a lot they didn't show us in this movie.
Yeah. I can't wait for the director's cut. It's awesome.
So they go back and they've devised this great plan. The great plan is they're going to sneak up the pyramid and they're going to do the old mammoth corral thing to the domesticated mammoths.
Yeah.
Right?
So what I would have done.
Yeah,
so
totally.
It pretty much ends up working. But before that, we see that... we see this god they're talking about. And the people who work for him are these really Egyptianized-looking people with, like... They wear all these weird jewelry and these, like, purple robes. And they have incredibly long fingernails. Incredibly long.
No, they don't have long fingernails. Zach's wrong about that. They have gold plates on the tips of their fingers.
Because if it were the fingernails, they'd be all curled after
they
got them up.
And his assistant, especially. And they speak in this really strange language where they breathe in when they talk. The assistant to the god does.
Yeah, it's Gauld language.
Whatever. And
yeah, dude.
And so you start to see this god person because in the beginning, when they first show the pyramid thing, these people start walking and everyone starts bowing and there's blowing of horns and so forth. And this person is on this carriage thing that they're all holding, you know.
Yeah.
And the assistant comes up and has to cover his eyes while he talks to this person and through all this veil. And you see that the shape of the person in there is huge. This person is massive, like 8 feet tall or something like that. And I'm starting to think, yeah, this is getting sweet. You know, like, what the hell is that? And the person's hands are, like, bandaged, but still has those, like, nail things on them.
Yeah.
And it's wearing this, like, weird headdress thing with a veil that's completely covering it. And then, like, you see it later where these creepy, like, all his servants are completely blind.
Yeah.
In the castle, and they're really creepy looking, like,
just pale albino blind see what things, he looks yeah. like and stuff.
And they're fixing it, and they said there were three of them, and now there's only one of them, and there's a prophecy about someone having the mark of the hunter, which is Orion, on their hand, and Evelette has it on her hand because earlier the slave trader had whipped her hand because she was holding on to something that Delay had given her.
Scarred her.
And so they said, the god quickly realizes, he's like, oh, that means that the hunter is out there and he's going to get me.
He's on his way.
What are we going to do, you know? And so anyway, they do. They come and they do the mammoth thing. The mammoths come and they trample all the... They do the stampede thing. The mammoths trample all the guards, and all the other slaves uprise, and they start kicking everyone's ass. And the god says, "Get his girl. We'll rip her apart." And they tired of some horses, right?
Draw and quarter.
Yeah. And so all the slaves run up like they're going to attack this main pyramid thing, and all the slaves and stuff come out for the god slaves, and this god thing kind of walks out behind him. It's massive, so huge, and he says, I'll give you the girl if you just turn around and get out of here. And he goes, it's a deal, but you have to free everyone here also. And they said, no, we'll give you your people, but the rest of these are the god slaves. And he's like, no dice, and he throws a spear, right? And the spear stabs the god, and it rolls down the stairs, and then it comes to a rest, and there's like blood in the veil and stuff. And then you see under the veil, it's just the chin of a white guy. Like a really pale white guy. Surprise!
Like an 8 foot tall
pale white guy.
Albino.
No, it's a white guy.
That's why he was wrapped up, probably, because he couldn't expose
the skin. I think it was just to hide the skin.
It was to hide the skin, and also because, see, it kind of alludes to the fact that he's getting old. He doesn't want to see his age.
Yeah, exactly. Because his skin was very wrinkled and stuff. But that was the weird thing. So they lead you to this point to believe that maybe it is some, like, alien type thing or something else, like some ancient race or something.
Interesting.
But it's like
just some dude.
It turns out that it is the thing about the giant bird that came over the ocean. Because at the end all the slaves of the god, after they kill the god, kind of run away into this big huge building on the edge of the river, and it has a gigantic, gigantic boat in it.
Yeah.
Like the Queen Mary size.
It kinda alludes it also when they're talking about it, and it kinda alludes to the it might be Atlantis as well that they came from, because some say that, you know, that they came from an island that sank or land that sank.
I missed that. That's good.
It's kind of like it alludes to a lot of these different
interesting stuff like that. But they end up just pussing out every time they go to something like this. Like they mentioned before, you see guys on horseback talking about four-legged demons. They mentioned all these things that might be mythical things that end up being like, hey, it's a giant bird. Hey, it's a woolly mammoth. Hey, it's a white guy. Like
so they're trying to be kind of realistic with this film.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work because...
Well, that's the silly thing, right? Because in the beginning it talked, you know, the guy who was narrating it, because there's a narrator.
Omar Sharif.
Okay.
He narrates it and he says that, you know, the history after time fades into myth and legend, and only myth and legend are left. And then it starts with the whole story thing, which is cool, you know, but why not, since they're telling a story about supposedly history's already faded.
Yeah, and it's myth and legend they're talking about. Why don't they keep some myth and legend? That would be cool.
Yeah, that's fine with me. I don't mind that.
It was like they kept reaching for fantasy elements and almost putting them in, and then taking them away at the last second.
It sounds like my experience with most Roland Emmerich films, where it's like, I'm really excited and then thinking it could be good.
Well, then it just doesn't end up being good. Stargate
like,
actually fulfilled on that.
Yeah, but Stargate except still left
the,
something.
Except for the fact that the main thing that pissed people off about Stargate was that it takes them to the other world and it's populated with humans.
That's what
pissed them off. There's one alien, you know, and it enslaved these humans, and it's a shapeshifter or whatever, but...
It would have been cooler if they, how they did with the show, made the Stargate go to more than one world.
Right.
They should have expanded on it in the movie.
You can't really do that in a movie. You kind of have to.
Well, but they could have, like, you know.
Otherwise, it turns into
alluded to it in the movie or something like that. I don't know. There you go.
It was an entertaining film, but my biggest problem was that it became too formulaic.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have, Oh, a prophecy. Oh, another prophecy. Oh, hey, he's the one. I think that they should have a movie where all the ones get together and they like bitch about how
who's
terrible. How terrible it is at being a one. You know, you get Delay, you got Neo, you got, you know, all like Jesus could be in there.
Yeah, I'm
the one.
Yeah, Ratatouille. You know?
Yeah, Ratatouille
could just be in there.
Hells yeah, it'd be more interesting.
John McClane, he's the one. There was a prophecy about John McClane in the first Iron
Man. If they would have just like gone more at the interesting
part. That one new type kid sci-fi show movie with Ian McShane where he's like, you are the one that is that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, Time, what was that called?
That was the idea I came up with. Time Striker. No, I was talking about an actual one that happened.
T-Y-M-E-S-T-R-Y-K-R-R-Y-R-R.
Yeah.
I'm fine with the movies that have prophecy in it, but it was like, we got a prophecy. That's sweet. Okay.
Here's another thing.
I'm willing to let it go. But then, like, oh, wait. We're going to do another people group that, hey, they got a prophecy. Yeah.
No, it would have been a cool way for him to, if it had been connected to Stargate, that would have been kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
And so here's another thing.
And we'll be talking about this afterwards.
Okay, so and for a second I even thought it was I know that Rodrigo Rodrigo Santoro, the guy who played Xerxes in 300.
Uh-huh.
You know how they made him look like 7 feet tall and his voice was digitally manipulated to be incredibly low and creepy, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, there's a guy who looks like him, except for 20 years older, who plays the slave trader who captures everyone in the beginning.
Yeah.
And he's the one who he falls in love with Evelette, and at the end he shoots Evelette with an arrow, and she dies pretty much. And Delay is pissed, and as he's walking away, the big mammoth walks up to him and like looks at him, and he's like, "Ooh," and he's like, "What?" And he turns around, and at that time, the old mother back at their homeland breathes her last breath, and shows the breath go into Evelette. Thousands of miles away, and she wakes back up, and they're like, "Yay!"
What?
So anyway,
that
slave trader guy.
That sounds really stupid. Fucking
yeah, it's
stupid.
Yeah, it's not confusing. It's just retarded.
Well, here's my thing:
the slave trader guy talked with that same fake low voice. It couldn't have been real, right?
No, it couldn't have been.
And so, you instantly think something like what is up with that? What, you know, like you think it's going to lead to something else. Like, yeah, why is he that incredibly
in
fake
Stargate as well? Voice? Like,
he sounded like the guards in Stargate.
The guards and the emperor, the
he talked like that.
That's what kind of made
or
me
not
like
Gould, I guess, not in the.
Okay, shut up with your freaking series. Bullshit.
What?
Talking about the actual real movie here.
The guards in the movie didn't sound like that either.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, they
didn't.
Watch the fucking movie again.
I did watch the movie. I just watched it like a week ago.
If Pharaoh or the alien or whatever, Ra, that's his name, Ra, when he speaks, he's got that very low.
The guy that's not a guard?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh. Ra. Anyway, he speaks that incredibly low, whatever, digitally thing. And so, it was totally, you thought that was alluding to that. And back to the whole mother breathing, or the lady breathing out her life.
Yeah,
and
if they're
going to
have
them,
magic.
If they're going to have, like, magic and, like, almost like myth, why not expound upon it with more? I mean, it just,
right.
It was, oh, man.
Overall, I'd give it an A-.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Nah, it was like a D+.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
About there.
The visuals, and there's some things.
Visuals can only do much.
Especially in a movie like that.
You gotta let me finish. The visuals are pretty sweet. There's some pretty sweet visuals in there. Even though the saber-toothed tiger was fake.
It was really fake.
But the visuals were pretty sweet. You know, the acting was okay. And there were some points of, like, very, very, very real interest. But overall, the movie just, I don't know, I felt really tired after it. As I told Zach, I felt really, really tired.
Was it long?
Epic. It's like, why are they still walking?
It was 2 hours. Yeah, it was just like watching them.
Why are they still walking? They're still walking. Oh, wait. Oh, here's a little bit of action. Oh, wait. They're walking again. They're walking. It felt like I was like, out of breath, like, and I was only 3/4 of the way through the movie.
Well, I'll tell you right there.
It just, I don't know. It's an interesting movie at points, but I don't know. I didn't think it was all that great.
So he gave it a D+.
Yeah, you know, it really sounds like
Zach on the D+.
It really felt like something that some studio heads thought up and thought it would be some great moneymaker.
Yeah,
for some reason.
Apocalypto.
We're like, okay, we got this hot chick in it. We got this good looking guy. and there's going to be spears, and there's going to be some dinosaur-looking things, and there's going to be some, you know, and we'll put a kid in it who's got some funny moments, right? And there'll be, like, there'll be, like, you know, all this action, and there'll be this adventure and romance, and, like, it sounds like this, like, committee sat at the table and thought of this movie. It's really, like, that boring. It's really that boring. Like, that's...
Yeah, like I said, formulaic.
It wasn't just formulaic. It was just, like, the execution of it was... On one hand,
they just like threw all this crap into it. And
see, that's what I think. A lot of his movies have been like they felt like that to me. They felt
even really Universal like Soldier
execute well, not that one, but thank you. But Independence Day felt that way. Stargate felt that way to me. It felt like there's cool stuff that could be happening, but then it just doesn't, or the way it happens is not as cool as I'd want it to be. You know, it just. Like, Stargate felt really anticlimactic to me for some reason.
The way I don't like how like. He says, "I'll see you later," and then like I was like, "Oh, I wanted him." Like, what happens? Do they blow up the Stargate?
It didn't really happen. I don't think he's lived up to much Roland Emmerich in terms of his movies.
That would have been really cool if it was like a connected to Stargate. Like that would have been 10,000 years before they found the Stargate in Giza, and like the slaves rebelled, and he flew away in his pyramid shaped ship and stuff.
That would have been very good, but they didn't do it.
What's neat about that kind of stuff is that that just kind of comes out of left field. Of course, you knew if that were the case that Zach would have already known about it because it would have been on the net all over the place.
Yeah, totally.
Pizza.
Want a piece of pizza, Keith?
Ha, she's good at it.